Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, actress Roxana Ortega talks about hiking Mount Kilimanjaro.
I'll go. I'll hike Mount Kilimanjaro with you. We'll do your dream doing that, and then we'll do my dream of going on safari. And I stumbled across an interesting fact about Mount Kilimanjaro, that it could kill you, that people died every year. And I hadn't planned on doing any sort of training, because I did stumble across in one of the books, you can't train for altitude, and I like clung to that. I was like, great, no, I don't need to train.
Today on the show, actress Roxana Ortega talks about hiking Mount Kilimanjaro a bit unprepared. Stay close.
Hey, it's Roxana Ortega, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. As you guys know, we just celebrated the 8th anniversary, so we've been doing this a while, and we're so excited to have another fantastic storyteller here today. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week, and that was with Sasha Rothschild. Do you know Sasha Rothschild?
No.
She is a writer and a producer on the show Glow. And she told a story that, I'm not kidding, I've done over 500 stories. I got nauseous. Yeah. Well, the title of the story was, I got run over by a train.
Oh, God. And that was a literal description of the story.
Exactly right. So by the end of the story, I was like all woozy. And I was kind of hanging onto the table. And I'm like, can you get my water? It's in the refrigerator. I'm opening the window. She's fanning me.
You're like, no, I got run over by a train.
It was so embarrassing, but it was so good. I'm telling you. So go back and listen to Sasha Rothschild's story. But not today. Not today, because today I'm here with actress and writer, voiceover artist, Roxana Ortega. And Roxana brings forth the topic, conquering Kilimanjaro, which is like, fantastic. I mean, I think about, first of all, I have like this whole mountain obsession thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love mountains. I love watching like the Everest movies.
Oh, and yeah, me too.
Documentaries on that stuff. Yeah, I just love that.
Oh, God. That's intense.
I can't get enough Sherpas in my life. I mean, I love all aspects of it. I'm not even sure why. I mean, I guess it's because of their drive and their spirit and, you know, just the fact that they're doing it.
Yeah, the Sherpas.
The commitment, all of it.
The commitment. I think it's kind of the only time, that similar feeling is kind of being in spin class, you know? If you've ever taken a spin class and you're just like, oh, I don't know, something like takes over.
Wait, are you saying like in terms of like when endorphins kick in?
Yeah, it's something, something primal.
But I'm talking about I like watching them. Not
you like
doing
it. You don't like doing it.
Well, no, not that I wouldn't do it. I hike and stuff. But I'm saying like watching extreme climbing is so interesting to me.
Well, what drives a person to do that?
Yeah.
To conquer all the seven peaks. Like those people are to do the never before, done before mountains. Like really?
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It really is. And of course, you're talking about Kilimanjaro, which is in Tanzania.
Yes.
And that's Africa's highest mountain.
Yes, and the highest freestanding mountain, I think, freestanding meaning it's not part of a range.
Interesting.
That's correct. So it's just like a mountain coming up, you hike the whole thing.
Are there several volcanoes on it? Or?
No, I don't think there was a, you know what? There might have been a volcano. No, I probably would know. If there was a volcano, I probably would have heard about it and had a panic attack about it. So.
Well, it's almost 20,000 feet. It's 19,000. Yeah. I looked it up. It's 19,341 feet. Mm-hmm. There's seven official trekking routes. Mm-hmm. So I guess, obviously, before you go, you choose based on your fitness level? Or how do you decide?
It's really about finances, I think.
Oh, no, I wouldn't know that.
It depends. Like, if you have unlimited finances, each day that you're on the mountain, you have to pay to be there. And so there's actually a problem with people who want to experience Kilimanjaro, but they're like, oh, we can't afford this. You know, it's thousands of dollars.
Sure.
So we want to do the two-day version. And they want to try to hike it, you know, 2 or 3 day version, and you get sick.
Because like, they're not acclimating properly. Yeah,
yeah, but there are companies who are running people up the mountains on these short trips. And I didn't want to do it that way.
No.
And neither did the woman I was going with. So she wanted to find the safest
company. So is that legal? Is it legal for them to do that?
Well, it technically is. It's legal, yeah. But
wow.
So do your research if you're going to go and see which companies have the high safety ratings.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I can't wait to talk about it. And I'm sure mm-hmm. it's in your story. But I did look up and I thought it was interesting that the fastest ascent, guess how fast somebody did Kilimanjaro in 1981. Guess how fast he did it.
2 days.
6 hours and 42 minutes.
Oh, my God.
6 hours and 42 minutes. Isn't that amazing?
Ascent,
yeah.
But not descent. That's
no, it
impossible.
Says no. The fastest ascent descent has been recorded by the Swiss Ecuadorian mountain guide, Carl Eichloff. Shout out to Carl, who ran to the top and back in 6 hours and 42 minutes on August 13th, 2014.
Wait, what? I can't even understand that in my brain because the last day of hiking, it literally, I think, was 12 hours.
I know.
Just the last day, and we did 7 days.
I know, but
to get there.
I know, but Roxana, then you think about marathon runners going by. They're doing 26 miles in 2 hours and 2 hours and 20 minutes, or no, 2 hours and 9 minutes. They do marathons now. So, I mean, that's the kind of athlete we're talking about, obviously. Yeah, no, they haven't been on Storyworthy telling their show. You're going to have the most amazing Kilimanjaro story. By the way, I know that it is a major climbing destination, and like you said, it costs money because that's one of the major ways they make money in that country, right?
Yes,
tourism.
I mean, tourism. Yes, it's a beautiful country. I love it. I want to go back.
Yeah.
But I will not be hiking that mountain again.
That was a one-time deal?
Oh, yeah.
Have you hiked any other mountains?
I hiked Machu Picchu.
Oh, wow.
And I hiked the Grand Canyon down and up in a day.
Yeah.
And that was also brutal.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die on that one.
Yeah. I actually did that when I was very young. I was 18. And I was with a boyfriend. And we did that. And it was the stupidest thing I ever did.
Right? You feel like this is not a good decision. And they have signs saying do not attempt
to do
this.
When I did it, though, it was so long ago. In my day in Grand Canyon National
Park. The canyon was flat.
They didn't have any signs. No, but they didn't have any signs warning us. And we went up and down that Bright Angel Trail in one day. And I remember we had like 2 gallons of water with us. And 1 gallon was gone, you know, within like a half mile. And then when we were coming back up, there was no water. We were just it was so stupid. And I remember getting violently sick. Sick from like heat exhaustion. Yeah, heat stroke. And we got up at like 9 p.m. So we'd started, you know, it was just a stupid thing. Yeah. And now there are signs.
There are signs that say that exact experience. They show people like dying or fainting.
Why
and
did you do
dehydration.
That? If you should have known better.
I didn't. Which you'll find from the story. I kind of just like jumped to say yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're going to get to your story. That's awesome. But before we get to Roxana's story, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy and check out storyworthypodcast.com. Would you do that? And then there's a mailing list. Yes, of course there is. And that would be helpful as well. And of course, I always need 5 stars and a good review on Apple Podcasts. Will you do that for me, Roxana?
Yes.
She wasn't listening. She wasn't listening.
No, I will. Will I review it?
Yeah.
Yes.
See?
If yes, Roxana I'll give it 5 stars.
If Roxana Ortega will do this for me, then you people will do this for me. Thank you. I know you will. All right, you guys, she's here right now, Roxana Ortega. Like I said, she's an actor and a writer and a voiceover artist who is an alumna of the prestigious Groundlings Sunday Company.
Yes.
And anything about the Groundlings, if somebody tells me they were in the Groundlings, any of the Sunday Company or the regular company, whatever, or was a Groundling or is a Groundling or even goes to the classes, I swear to God, I'm impressed. I swear to God, because there's just so much legacy there. I mean, I'm sure not every single person there is talented, but every person that gets to the Sunday Company is.
Oh, the talent there is incredible.
By
the time you get to that level of
school,
it's crazy.
Every person at that level could be like on Saturday Night Live.
They could be. Well, that's what it's set up. It's the only thing in town that is set up exactly like Saturday Night Live. You pitch one night a week.
SNL is a little more intense, but you're putting on a live show, new show every week.
Every week.
That's why people, I think, from the Groundlings do so well on SNL, because they've gone through that. They've gone through that structure. It makes sense.
Yeah, but it makes a lot of sense because, you know, you obviously get great at what you're good at.
And yeah.
If you do it over and over again, there you go.
Yeah.
On television, you've seen Roxanna on the Santa Clarita Diet, American Vandal, HBO's Togetherness, The League, The New Girl, and NCIS. Holy cow. And you just wrapped a lead role in the Universal feature Granddaddy Daycare. That's got to be funny. Is it going to be great?
And I don't know how much I'm allowed to say. I think I'm allowed to say nothing.
I see.
Except for the fact that I just wrapped it, but it's going to be great.
It sounds really cute. Granddaddy Daycare with Danny Trejo.
Yes. And Reno Wilson from Mike and Molly.
That's so exciting.
And a ton of legends are in that film as well. Just comedy legends. George Wendt from Cheers.
Yeah.
Barry Bostwick, James Hong, Linda Gray. I mean, it's going
to
be
people just wanted great. To do it. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. We've also heard Roxanna's voice on a lot of video games, audiobooks, and you recur on Nickelodeon's hit show The Loud House as Frida Casagrande. That's hilarious. Now, what age is that for, The Loud House?
The Loud House is, I believe they say like 6 to 11.
So it's my age.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, exactly. My age. I just aged out of it. I just turned 12, so.
Roxanna is also a Moth Grand Slammer, and you are the creator of the storytelling show Minority Retorts that you co-host with Jordan Black at the Groundlings Theater. All right, you guys, you can follow her over on Twitter at Roxanna Ortega and on Instagram at The Roxanna Ortega. Wherever you are, folks, put your hands together for Roxanna Ortega.
So, ever since I was a very little girl, I wanted to go to Africa. I used to come out of my house, and if it was a clear blue sky day, I'd go, oh, it's like Africa. And my sisters were like, no, it's not. Like, I grew up in Orange County in Fullerton, so it was not Africa in any way. But I just had this huge imagination. I would imagine the giraffes and the lions just like roaming against the sky. You know, I was determined to get to Africa. I was already there in my mind, you know. So 5 years ago, a friend of mine, Jenny, not her real name, Jenny said, oh, I have nobody to hike Mount Kilimanjaro with. And I was like, oh my God, I'll go. I'll hike Mount Kilimanjaro with you, and then we'll do your dream doing that, and then we'll do my dream of going on safari. I thought, you know, this is like an even trade, right? So I knew nothing about Mount Kilimanjaro. She actually had to tell me it was in Africa at first. It's in Tanzania, and I'm not a hiker. Per se. I've been on a few big hikes. It's because I love a good view and I'm just willing to walk for it however long to see like the vistas. So I thought, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of walking, but the views are going to be amazing. And she gave me a bunch of books. She gave me, you know, pamphlets and books, all this research she had done, but I didn't want to read too much because I wanted to be surprised. I really like, I don't like watching the previews, like, up next, the next episode of whatever. I don't watch them because I like to be surprised. And I stumbled across an interesting fact about Mount Kilimanjaro, that it could kill you, that people died every year, and that we were going to be walking in this extreme altitude, 19,300 feet, for 7 days it was going to take us to get there. And that could cause something called cerebral edema, whose symptoms included two words, brain leak. Brain leak. What? Like, brain leak, okay? So I am very adventurous. I say yes to a lot of things, but I am extremely fearful, okay? My brain, when I walk down a flight of stairs, I picture my dead body at the bottom of stairs every time. It's just like a reflex my brain does. You know, it pictures itself cracked at the bottom of stairs. So the last thing that it needed was to picture itself leaking on the top of a mountain. Then I get into the gear list. The gear list that our company sent us was 7 pages
of essential gear. It was titled Essential Gear, and it was 7 pages. And it had pictures and these words, neoprene sleeve, balaclava, gaiters, like all these words. I grew up in Orange County. Like I had jean shorts and a bathing suit. You know, I don't know about this winter gear. So I didn't know what they were for, but I knew if I don't get them, I am going to die. And I hadn't planned on doing any sort of training because I did stumble across in one of the books, you can't train for altitude. And I like clung to that. I was like, great. No, I don't need to train. But I was so freaked out the week before that we left that I started doing Runyon Canyon as if that's proper training and squatting at the gym, doing all these things I never do. So I get on the airplane to Africa. I'm supposed to meet my friend in Amsterdam. We're meeting up. And I'm on the plane, and I'm convinced I'm going to get thrombosis. You know, like all my anxieties were coming up. So I start pacing around the plane, and I'm stretching my quads by the bathroom. Like, I just can't sit. You know, I got to keep my blood moving. No clots. I'm panicking. Okay, I arrive in Tanzania. We get to the base of the mountain. And there's a sign, there's some sign that's like, do not attempt to hike if, you know, and there's like 5 bullet points. I think one of them is like sniffles, you know, I don't know. Like, it's like, if you've had a cold in the last few weeks, you know, if you have congestion, I'm like, oh my God, do I have congestion? I think I have congestion. Do I sound congested? You know, I'm flipping out. Our guides, we meet our 3 guides, 30 porters, and 7 other people we're going to go up the mountain with. And our guides immediately check our heart rate and oxygen levels and like log it. So it felt very serious. The first night we're on the mountain, sleeping in our tents, well, supposed to be sleeping in our tents, Jenny slithers into her little sleeping bag. She falls asleep immediately, right? It's her dream trip. I put on all my freaking clothes. I lie there. And I'm just petrified. I'm afraid of the cold, the OC, you know. I'm afraid of the cold. I'm afraid of the wind. It was very windy. And I'm afraid of that brain leak. Like, it's coming up in my head. So the next day, I told my our guides all my fears, right? I'm like, oh, my God. And they kept saying, don't worry, it's not a problem. Like, that was their go-to response. I was like, no, it's a problem. It feels like a problem to me. I said, I had insomnia, like I didn't sleep. And one of our guides said, you are tired, so you will sleep. And I was like, no, do you know what insomnia is? Insomnia, no, you're tired and you don't sleep. Do they not have insomnia in Africa? Like, what's going on? And I asked this same guide, I said, how will I know if my brain is leaking? And he said, you won't know. We will know. I was like, no, that's horrifying. I won't know. Oh my God. So one of the days that we're walking, the main guide asked, who here is afraid of heights? And I was like, I am. Oh, I am. I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of edges. I'm afraid of falling from heights or edges, all of it. And nobody else raised their hand in the group. And they're like, why are you on this trip? You know, they had no idea. I'm trying to get to my safari, right? The next day we had to not walk, but scale a wall with all 4 of our limbs to get up this thing called the Barranco Wall. It's whatever. I did it, okay? But we were walking 7 to 10 hours a day. So you would fall if you didn't have your pole technique down. And I definitely did not have my pole technique down. So I was hitting the ground, just falling. And I kept glaring over at Jenny, like, man, your dream is dangerous. You know, just like, just starting to get like resentful. How did you bring me here, right? And finally, we reach the night of the summit attempt, as they say, which they really should rename that night, the summit attempt. And they wake us up at 12:30 in the morning. We're at that point, maybe 15,500 feet. So we tried sleeping at extreme altitude, right? People are really feeling it. They wake us up at 12:30 in the pitch black. And we start this
ascent up the mountain for 6 hours up this icy incline. And they told us it's too high and it's too cold to stop. So we just have to go directly for 6 hours until we get to the top, hopefully see the sunrise, and then get back down way lower than 15,000 feet. So because it's so intense for your body. So we start up this mountain. I have all my clothes on. Everybody does. You're assigned your own individual porter to carry all your things. So you just have to worry about getting yourself up. And this porter is in charge of running you down the mountain should anything happen, because at that point you're too high for helicopters to come save you. Machines die there, you know? So we're going up this in the dark, zigzagging up. And about an hour in, someone in our group yells, "Wait!" And she just vomits in the wind. I see it glistening through my headlamp. And then we keep going. An hour more goes. Jenny goes, "Hold on, I have to have diarrhea." Just announced that. She's such a shy person. So, you know, it was such an intense situation that she would yell that to everybody. And she went behind a rock. She had altitude diarrhea. And then we kept going and going. And an hour more in or so, we're getting closer, and two people in our group say, "It's not worth it." And they just go back down the mountain. They just bail. And a lot of people were bailing. You saw, because every group is there's tons of people heading up the mountain. But when we started getting closer and closer, people are turning around. They're going down. It's not worth it. They're scared. They're freaked out. They're sick. And I remember passing this one woman seated. You're not supposed to stop on the mountain, but she was seated in the icy ground, and her eyes were bugged out, and she was breathing so fast. Like it reminded me of the end of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, where they rip that guy's heart out, and he's like, and we passed her. We're like, "Okay, good luck to you." And we just kept going. And I somehow was doing surprisingly well, you know, after all the stink I was making, I was doing well. I mean, I was felt strong and determined and focused. And I remember thinking, like, this is crazy. Like, what are you doing? You don't even want to do this. This isn't your dream. This is Jenny's dream. Like, all you want to do is be on safari, sitting in a Jeep. They don't even allow you to walk. And here you are trying to like reach the summit and make it to the peak. But as I was walking in the dark, like I realized, oh, that's not what this is about for me. I felt like I was walking towards every anxiety that I had ever had in my life. I felt like I was facing myself, facing like my nature, the thing that, you know, I try to reconcile with all the time, my mortality. Like it felt that big. And I was thinking about my dad, who had died just the year before. And I knew he wouldn't want me to stop walking. And I kept thinking about my life and what I wanted it to be about. And I knew I didn't want to be that girl that turned around on the mountain. So at 6:30 in the morning, we made it. We made it to the summit. And the sun was, you know, rising. And we laughed, we cried, and I was like, "I need to pee." That was the first words out of my mouth. And I peed behind a tiny rock in front of tons of people. And the views were amazing, I must say. I'm not sure it was worth the walk, but the views were like being on Mars. Like they were otherworldly up there. But the coolest thing was I somehow felt like I had climbed to a higher place inside of myself. Like I could have died, but I didn't. I somehow summited over all those fears, right? I didn't die. And that made my safari even more blissful. We went on that safari
And I literally burst into song. I've never been happier in my life. Like, I was so happy to be there. I watched all the animals, you know, roaming around and was drinking every African beer I could get my hands on. And it was bliss, pure bliss. But it was more blissful because I had hiked that mountain. And I always remember that.
Wow. Roxana, that is such a powerful story. That is beautiful. I have so many questions mm-hmm. because I'm so interested mm-hmm. in this whole thing. When you, at night, when you sleep, is it like camp one, camp two? Like, is it all planned out ahead of time, of course?
Well, actually, it's a competition between the companies who can get secure the best spots at camp for their
people
for their clients, right? So there are seven hikers going up the mountain, and our porters, the 30 porters, right? Some of them are scouts, and they go off early in the morning and they go to secure your next campsite and try to get the prime locations. You know, the better companies do that. They have more teams, they have more money, more resources to do that. These porters are running down the mountain and bringing up water for you and supplies. And you eat these great meals in a tent. You have a food tent. They're cooking. They're carrying your pots and pans. And right. It's incredible.
Right. And so how much did it cost? I'm dying to know that.
Oh, God. Let's see. I want to say it's around...
I mean, by itself. By itself. Like, forgetting about how you get there and how you leave. You know, like,
okay, and without the gear, because the gear is can be expensive once you start buying that stuff, if you don't have it,
can
right?
you rent it?
You might be able to rent, but I got some stuff from my sister who's a wildlife biologist in Montana.
Oh, wow,
I was like,
that's
hey,
so cool.
I need some shit.
Stat. Yeah, stat.
You might have some of these things.
Send
Gators?
Me your
what
polypropylene,
is this?
Yeah, whatever.
Exactly. I need a baklava. She did send me her baklava.
Neoprene. Yeah,
neoprene.
Send me anything
sleeve,
neoprene.
Anything. Everything. So, yeah, I went to REI and
yeah.
I bought a bunch
oh,
of
fantastic.
Stuff.
So much
And I still
fun.
Have that stuff.
Oh, it's a blast.
My wool
I love
socks
that stuff.
And my thermals.
But how much was the trip
so
by itself?
I think,
like, if you were already over there and you thought, maybe I'll do Kilimanjaro one day.
I think Kilimanjaro is probably, with a good company, I want to say it's around $6,000.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot of
not
money.
Not counting the flight and not counting the safari. That was that was another thing I was panicking about, was the money.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. And I want to know more about the safari, but let me ask you, when you're talking about 6 hours, that icy incline, like when you're going to summit, that's in the dark.
Yes.
So is it dangerous? I mean, I know it's dangerous because you're sick, but is it dangerous like you could fall off something?
No, it's not going up. Really. I mean, you could twist an ankle and then you have to be run down. The dangerous part is coming down, which they say most of the injuries happen on the way down. There's something called scree. And scree is like, it's basically like loose pebbles. And you slide down it.
Oh
so,
my.
And it's, you're going straight down the incline now. And you have to go down. So you went up for 6 hours. Now you have to go down something like 7 hours to get below, you know, to a safe altitude.
Yeah.
And you slide. And they're like, no problem. They start running you down the mountain. That was terrifying. So you're sliding and they're like, ha 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 ha, the guides.
Yeah.
I was like, no! So scared.
So how big is the path, as it were? I'm like, I'm
it's
trying
not,
to picture
it's
it.
It's not like a...
it's not a path.
No, it's like a face. It's a big area. And a lot of people are moving up, from what I remember. I mean, it is in the dark. So it's not like you're on this cliff, like
right.
On
so how many people are heading up in the middle of the night like that? Wait, is it 50 people? Hundreds? 200?
Probably
really?
Hundreds. But they, if you leave early, so the again, depending on the company you go with, they wake you up really early, 12:30 a.m.
Yeah.
We're gonna try to beat the crowd. We're gonna get up there so we can get you. You can see the sunrise at 6:30, and then we got to get you back down before dark, so you can sleep below 15,000 feet.
Right. Okay, so what about that Barranco Wall?
That Barranco Wall, it's, again, this Kilimanjaro is considered a non-technical hike. You don't need, like, it's not like you're using all this gear that the other, it's one of the seven peaks, you know, the great peaks, but it's the one that a lot of people attempt because you don't need
climbing gear and stuff like that.
The only thing is you're using all your, there's this Barranco wall that you have to use, like, all your limbs to get up. Maybe it's an hour. I don't really remember. So it's not the whole day that you're climbing this wall. I see. And it's not like the face
of
the mountain.
So it's one challenge, yeah.
But they don't want you to get knocked off. The bigger thing is, they say people have gotten knocked off because porters and other groups are racing to get up and they could, their backpacks can hit you you could fall.
Why do they call them porters and not Sherpas?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to go back and I'm going to call them
Sherpas. We're
going
to find that out.
Because I love a Sherpa.
Yeah. So is it true you go through like many different, so you go through like rainforest, then you go through desert, you go through different climates when you're hiking Kilimanjaro.
Microclimates. They say it's like hiking the world in 7 days. You start in a very lush forest. It feels like a jungle almost.
Were you like skipping at first?
Like, yeah, I was like,
this is going to be fine.
I can do jungle. Are you kidding me? My people are from Peru. Like, I know jungle. And then we got out of the jungle and we got into like arid desert looking.
Yeah.
These crazy plants. They look like out of a Dr. Seuss book or something.
Really?
Just crazy looking plants. And you get into just nothing. Nothing can grow. Nothing can live. And you're like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. There's nothing alive here, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get to, I'm sure I'm forgetting some of the regions, but the top of the mountain is like you're on icy, it's not like full ice, but I think it's glacier, like on top.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it feels, I mean, it's all white.
So it's just all these different climates.
Oh, yeah. It was
super
beautiful.
Interesting. So what do you do on the way up? Is anybody talking or is everybody just too tired to talk? You can't talk. You got to breathe.
You can talk. You can talk when you're walking. You kind of get in your own pace. It depends. Sometimes you're walking in a line. Like, they often put me right behind the guide because they were... Because I was so freaked out. They're like, you will walk behind the guide.
Oh, I see.
You know,
in the beginning. Because then later you were doing like very well.
Yeah, I was still at the front. I was always at the front of the pack because they learned about me. If I was in the front, I kept like pace with the guide.
Yeah.
If I was in the back, I would be an hour behind everybody, which is what happened the final night. I came in last. I got up first.
Wow.
And then I came in last because then my back was spasming.
Ugh.
And I was just like, I was
done. Thinking you probably were doing well there because you weren't stressed out. And since you didn't really prepare because you wanted to be surprised, which is like the wrong way to go mountaineering. Trying to be surprised. Maybe that's why you did so well. What is pole technique?
So poles, you know, when you're hiking, you see people with poles and there's like a way to like use them right, like correctly so that they break your fall.
Like cross country skiing.
Kind of like that. Yes. And I'm not a skier.
I see. Yeah.
I've also probably have a skiing story or two.
So what are the porters that are beside you? And do they ever say like, come on, Roxana, you got this. Here's a banana. Or do they feed you? Or are they trying to encourage you? Do they sing songs?
What were they feeding us? There was some sort of drink, and I can't remember what it was, that was warming or something that they would drink, and you would just say, oh, I need some. I mean, some of them do not speak English. But our guides did. I would talk to our guides. I'd ask them. I loved Swahili, the language, and I really took
Jumbo.
To it.
Yeah.
Jumbo, yeah. And so I'd say, what's the word? Mwembe. What's this word? You know,
Unkungu.
That means fog. Like, I still remember I was in love with the language. And they kept saying, where did you learn Swahili? I said, on the plane.
Oh, that's so funny. Hey, let me ask you something. How do you know who summited and who didn't? Like you said, you were heading up and people were turning around. Well, how do you know who didn't?
That's a great question. You get a certificate so that you can't claim. Not only, so you can get to the highest point in Africa and still not get to the summit. Like the highest, what is it called? There are two spots on the mountain. A lot of people get to the first spot and they're like, I did it. But they didn't do it. They didn't go all the way to the top.
Which there's no cars up there, of course, or anything.
Well, there's nothing anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, it's in that final night, the descent, I think maybe at the fifth hour or the sixth hour.
That's where the snow is, of course, on top of the mountain. I'm saying when you look at a picture of Kilimanjaro, it's always ice up there.
Ice, yeah, because it's so high.
Wow.
So They give you a certificate, and when we came back down and we, you know, went to our little place we were staying at, we showed our certificates, and all the Tanzanians were very impressed because not everybody summits.
Sure.
And they're like, did you get your certificate? And we were like, yes.
So how happy was Jenny?
So happy. I mean, so glad. Tears happy.
Are you still friends?
Oh, yes.
It's
and
huge.
We're talking about going to India. And I did the Grand Canyon with her. She's the one that got me in that one, too. So she's a real adventurer. And we're talking about going to India. She plans a great trip.
That's fabulous.
And I just need to like read more of the materials she gives me.
Let me tell you what I follow on Twitter a lot is Kruger National Park.
Oh.
And that's in Africa. And I think that's in Tanzania as well.
Yes.
That's the safari park.
Yes.
And I follow it on Twitter because then at night when, you know, all the politics are coming through and it's all so depressing and our country is falling apart and you see these cheetahs and you see, you know, the elephants and you see the hyenas and all the different species, the big five, as it were.
Yes.
And I love that Twitter feed. It's so fun. And I feel like, though, sometimes I don't like how many cars I see in the picture. Like, I'm like, there seems like so many
Jeeps.
Outfitting companies. Yeah, like so many outfitting companies. Like, I feel like when you were there on safari, did it seem like this is so touristy? Or
well, it didn't seem that. Well, okay, look. We went to see the Great Migration. I mean, this
we
saw the wildebeest.
Yeah.
That same trip was like the whole trip was mind-blowing. And there were all these outfits trying to catch, you know, all these Jeeps waiting to hear the first wildebeest drop into the water and then everybody would just race.
Rush.
But it wasn't as bad as like when you go to the Eiffel Tower and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that because you're still in the
as well.
Exactly. People are priced out.
Yeah.
And it's so big and vast, the environment that you're in, it's so open that you are still the minority there.
Of course.
The animals and nature is
and
so
it takes a long time to get to where the animals are, right? So you drive for hours.
We the company we went with, we had a camp nice tent. I mean, it had like a wooden floor in it,
nice.
A big tent, and we were surrounded by zebras. You would look out your front of your tent, the screens, zebras.
I gotta go there.
I mean, I have to go. It was incredible, and they actually would say like there was somebody that would walk you from the food tent to your tent at night in the dark because of
the
animals.
I could see that.
But he was carrying a bow. Like, not a gun, like, to protect us from the animals. He had, like, a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
And a flashlight. And I kept thinking, like,
who's going to hold the flashlight?
Who's going to hold the flashlight? I was like, wait a minute. The math doesn't add. You only have two arms. I was like, my anxious brain went on again. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Shouldn't he have a headlamp
or something? Yeah, he should have a headlamp.
Lend him your, Kilimanjaro headlamp.
What's he going to do? Yeah. But it's pretty
crazy. This is fascinating. I love this story.
Must go.
And it sounds like it was a life-changing trip.
It was. It was, and it was so cathartic because my father had just died, and it felt like, you know, doing something big. It's like that movie, which I don't think I saw, Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably
Reese
about
Witherspoon,
that. There's something about you feel like you want to do something.
I hear you.
Big or for yourself, and you're in touch with your own life, and as we've talked about, or as you know, my mother passed away recently, and I had that same kind of impulse.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to do something, you know.
And are you going to? Because that just happened.
Yeah. Probably I will. Probably. I mean, I did the movie.
Yeah.
And that felt like this
How many days did you get on the movie?
So it was 3 weeks. So
how
I worked
beautiful.
I worked only, I worked 8 days of
how
the 3 weeks.
Exciting.
But it was like, you know, like
that's
this
beautiful.
Felt like a trip and an escape and a beautiful, everyone was lovely. You know, the whole thing was like, okay, this is a wonderful shift that I needed.
Well, there are points in our life I have found that they're just pivotal,
yeah.
Right? And you hit a wall, and it's like, okay, wait a minute. And it's a turning point. And usually, change is good. You know, usually what choice you make, even if it's not the perfect choice, it leads you to where you should be.
Yes.
If you self-reflect and take that minute.
Yeah, in the big, big, big picture, everything makes sense and is, quote-unquote, perfect, right?
It
all lines up and makes sense. And I try to remind myself that when stuff is going wrong and when, you know, there's been a lot of loss in my life this year. And I keep saying, okay, this is all, things are going to come from this that I can't see right now.
Right.
And I just have to have faith.
And I also think about that, like, in terms of our country and where we're at. Like, mm-hmm. our country has seen a lot of bad shit, man. But hopefully, you know, hopefully we're going to get through this. I think we will. I really do.
I do believe in the bigger. It's the only thing that's getting me through. The bigger kind of evolution of, like, the macro and the micro. I always look at my own life and go, oh, in my own evolution, when stuff goes crazy or when I have to learn these hard lessons, I'm better for it in the long run. And so I think of our country in that way, too. And I go, oh, God, we're learning some terrible lessons right now. Like, you cannot go to sleep just because you have your man in office.
Right.
You cannot. Democracy requires your participation or it's gone. It's fragile.
Hey, listen, man, I'm so happy you came by. Oh. What a fabulous story, Roxanna.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed
You're
it.
You're wonderful.
Thanks
thank you
for
so
having
much.
Me.
I really appreciate it. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Tweet Roxanna and let her know you enjoyed her story at Roxanna Ortega. And of course, then tweet me over there as well at Storyworthy. And I want to thank the sponsors on the show today. And I really hope you guys will check them out because you know and I know that that's how this whole thing works. And when you support me, I keep these stories coming. So thank you so much again for supporting my sponsors. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a really unique episode with Dr. Janice Presser.
The thing is, you are always motivated. It's a kind of like an eternal braid of three kinds of motivators. Understand something at the beginning. For all of us, there's usually one motivator that's the strongest in us. And the other two are somewhat less important. The problem comes when we kind of ignore one completely.
Don't miss Dr. Janice Presser talking about motivation next week on Storyworthy. All right, you guys, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and everybody on the Wondery team. And one more time, on behalf of the talented Roxanna Ortega, thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a Storyworthy week.
Following me, you better make clear, yeah. Hey, hey, hey. If you're looking for heaven, baby, the line points to the rear, and you can.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.